ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नृषुथवमयया भ्रमम् अमिष्पवकत्यवृषम् वायि सुधियो भवेत् तथि भावम् अनुप्रभवम् कथम् अनुवर्ततम् भावभयम् तव यद्ब्रूकुथि सृजति मुहुस्त्रिनेमिर् अभवाच्चरणेषु भयम् The wise souls who understand how your Maya deludes all human beings render potent loving service to you, who are the source of liberation from birth and death. How, indeed, can fear of material life affect your faithful servants? On the other hand, your furrowing eyebrows, the triple-rimmed wheel of time, repeatedly terrify those who refuse to take shelter of you. Purport. The Vedas reveal their most cherished secret, devotional service to the personality of Godhead. Only to those who are tired of material illusion, which is based on a false sense of independence from the Lord. The Vajrasanayi Samhita of the White Yajur Veda contains the following mantra: Puritya Bhutani Puritya Lokan Puritya Sarva Paradisho Dishascha Upasthaya Pratama Jamritasya Manatmanam Abhisamvivesha. After passing beyond all the species of life, all the planetary systems and all the limits of space in all directions, one approaches the original soul of immortality. Then one receives the opportunity to enter permanently into his domain and worship him with personal service. The proponents of various contending materialistic philosophies may consider themselves very wise, but they are in fact all deluded by the Supreme Lord's Maya. Vaishnavas recognize this pattern of general delusion and submit themselves to the Supreme Lord in the devotional moods of servitude, friendship, and so on. Instead of the heat and strife of philosophical quarrel, the pure Vaishnavas experience only delight at every moment, because the object of their love is he who brings an end to material entanglement. And the devotees of the Lord Vishnu enjoy constant pleasure not only in this life but in future lives. In whatever birth they take, they enjoy loving reciprocations with the Lord. Thus the sincere Vaishnav prays, Nat Yoni Sahasreshu Yeshu Yeshu Brahmanyaham Tatra Tatra Chuta Bhaktir Achutastu Dridatvayi. Wherever I may wander, O Master, among thousands of species of life, in each situation may I have firmly fixed devotion to you, O Achuta. from the Vishnu Purana. Some philosophers will question how the Vaishnavas can overcome their material entrapment without thorough analytic knowledge of the entities Tvam, you the Jiva, and Tat, that the Supreme, and without developing a sufficient hatred of material life. The personified Vedas here answer that there is no chance of material illusion continuing to act on devotees of the Lord, because even in the earliest stages of devotional service, all fear and attachment are removed by the Lord's grace. Time is the root cause of all fear in this world. Indeed, with its three divisions of past, present, and future, it creates terror at the prospect of impending disease, death, and hellish suffering. But only for those who have failed to obtain shelter at the feet of the Supreme Lord, as the Lord himself says in Ramayana, Sakrit eva prapanno yas tavasmiti chayachate abhayam sarvada tasmoy tadam yetad britam mama. To whomever, even once, surrenders to me, pleading, I am yours, I give eternal fearlessness. This is my solemn vow. Furthermore, in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Daivihyeshu gunmayi mama maya duratyaya mam eva ye prapadyante mayam etam tarantite. This divine energy of mine, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. Vaishnavas do not like to waste their time in prolonged and fruitless wrangling over dry philosophical subjects. They would rather worship the personality of Godhead than quarrel with philosophical adversaries. The Vaishnava's understanding concurs with the essential message of revealed scriptures. These devotees' conception of the Supreme Absolute Truth as the infinite ocean of personality and loving pastimes in his worshipable forms of Krishna, Rama, and other divine manifestations, and their conception of themselves as his eternal servants, amount to the perfect conclusion of Vedanta philosophy in terms of the entities Tat and Tvam. The personality of Godhead and his emanations, such as the Jiva souls, are simultaneously different and non-different, just like the sun and its expanding rays. There are more Jivas than anyone can count, and each of them is eternally alive with consciousness, as the Shrutis confirm, Nityo Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitananam. When they are sent forth from the body of Mahavishnu at the beginning of material creation, the Jivas are all equal in the sense that they are all atomic particles of the Lord's marginal energy. But according to their differing conditions, they divide into four groups. Some are covered by ignorance, which obscures their vision like a cloud. Others become liberated from ignorance through a combination of knowledge and devotion. A third group of souls become endowed with pure devotion, with a slight mixture of desire for speculative knowledge and fruitive activity. Those souls attain purified bodies composed of perfect knowledge and bliss, with which they can engage in the Lord's service. Finally, there are those who are devoid of any connection with ignorance. These are the Lord's eternal associates. The marginal position of the Jiva soul is described in the Narada Pancharatra. Yatatstam tu chidrupam swasam vedyad vinirgatam ranjatam gunaragena sajiva iti katyate. The tatastha potency should be understood as emanating from the Lord's samvit, knowledge, energy. This emanation, called the jiva, becomes conditioned by the qualities of material nature. Because the minute jiva lives within the margin between the Lord's external illusory potency, maya, and his internal spiritual potency, chit, the jiva is called tatastha, marginal. When he earns liberation by cultivating devotion to the Lord, however, he becomes completely under the shelter of the Lord's internal potency, and at that time he is no longer tainted by the modes of material nature. Lord Krishna confirms this in Bhagavad Gita. Mam cha yo vyabhicharina bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahmabhuyaya kalpate. One who engages in full devotional service, unfailing in all circumstance, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. The object of the soul's worship is realized in three aspects: Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Impersonal Brahman is like the radiant effulgence of the sun. The super soul, or Paramatma, is like the sun globe. And the personality of Godhead, Bhagavan, is like the presiding deity within the sun, complemented by his elaborate entourage and paraphernalia. Or to cite another analogy, travelers approaching a city from a distance cannot at first distinguish its features, but rather see something vaguely shining ahead of them. As they come closer, they may discern a few of the taller buildings. Then, when they are sufficiently close, they will see the city as it is, a bustling metropolis with many citizens, residences, public buildings, highways, and parks. In the same way, persons inclined to impersonal meditation may at best gain some realization of the Supreme Lord's effulgent, Brahman. Those who approach closer can learn to see him as the Lord in the heart, Paramatma, and those who come very close can know him in his full personality, Bhagavan. In summary, Srila Sridhar Swami prays, O Sri Narahari, please deliver those human beings who have suffered all kinds of torments and been ripped apart by the sharp edge of samsara's wheel, but who have now somehow found you and are surrendering themselves unto you. Hare Krishna. This purport gives us much to discuss, and we have 15 minutes to do so. In the previous chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna went to Mithila, which is the birthplace of Sita. And there, two great personalities, the king, Bahulaswa, and a simple Brahmin, Shrutadev, came to the outskirts of the city to welcome Krishna. They both invited Krishna to their homes to serve him. Krishna, who is unlimited in his capacity to reciprocate loving relationships with infinite living beings, expanded himself to go to both places simultaneously. Bahulasva worshipped Krishna with royal offerings, thrones, fine foods, professional dancers and singers. And Shrutadeva offered Krishna in his little hut a straw mat, and he fanned him with his own little jhadar. And it explains that Krishna accepted both of their worship equally, because Krishna does not see the thing that is offered. He sees the purpose and the intention in which it is offered. During that time, just when Krishna was about to leave, he was telling Shrutadeva, the Brahman, that he should honor and worship all of the Brahmins that came with Krishna. Because he was worshiping Krishna. Krishna said, you should offer worship to all of them too. And he explained that although the Vedas emanate from Krishna himself, they are personified by the Brahmins, by the self-realized devotees of the Lord. And how one can get purified by studying the Vedas, by going to holy places, by bathing in holy rivers, and one could get the same result simply by being mercifully glanced upon by the Brahmins, by the great souls. After speaking these words in glorification of the Lord's devotees as being the personification of the wisdom of the Vedas, Parikshit Maharaj asked Sukadeva Goswami, how is it that the Vedas that are describing in words the qualities of material nature can directly explain the nature of the Absolute Truth, who is beyond the three modes of material nature? And Shukadeva Goswami goes into some histories of when Narada Muni approached Lord Narayan in Badrikashram, who asked the same question, who explained how in Janaloka, the four Kumaras, among many great sages, were asked the same question. And how Sanandana, one of the four Kumaras, told this story. How at the beginning of the creation of the universe, when Lord Mahavishnu is apparently sleeping, by his own will, the personified Vedas, those who know the Vedas, they chanted beautiful prayers and hymns to wake the Lord up for the purpose of manifesting the universe again, which was now in a dormant state within his body. And what we are reading now is Shukadeva Goswami's description of some of the prayers of the personified Vedas. In today's verse, these great personalities are describing how Maya is so powerful. It deludes all living beings, save and except those who take shelter of the Lord. Everyone else live in fear. Fear of disease, fear of death, fear of suffering. In the purport, it goes into a great description of the nature of the jiva, the living being. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his elaborate philosophical explanation to Srila Sanatana Goswami begins with the principle, Jivera Swarupoi Krishner Nityadas, that the jiva, the living entity, is eternally the servant of Krishna. That is our nature. Forever. We are always subordinate to Krishna. And Vaishnava philosophy, everything is built upon this foundation. That the greatest potential of every jiva is to experience Krishna's infinite love and to love Krishna. And in that state, there can be no fear. Srila Prabhupada explained it in such a simple way. He quoted Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that Krishna is like the sun and Maya is like darkness. In the presence of the sun, darkness cannot exist. All the fear of material existence is when we live in this darkness, when we forget Krishna. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in his first meeting with Srila Prabhupada, explained that the only real problem in this world is a lack of Krishna consciousness, that we are forgetting Krishna. In that forgetfulness, there is inconceivable, limitless sufferings, illusions, fears. But in Krishna consciousness, everything is revealed, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, as it is. And devotees of the Lord always keep focused on this principle. Here in Tirupati, it was just a generation after Sri Ramanujacharya, Anantacharya was living here. He was one of Ramanuja's great disciples. And a devotee came to him all the way from Sri Rangam to ask him, what are the qualities of a true devotee? He gave a simple but elaborate answer. And one explanation he gave is a devotee is like a crane. A crane is a bird. It stands on one leg in a stream of water and focuses its attention at looking down into the water. And so many little tiny fish are passing. And he just watches patiently, lets all the little fish pass. They're constantly passing. They never stop passing. And then when a big fish comes, he eats it. Now, we're not, this is not about eating fish. This is a principle. He explains that a real devotee, there are so many distractions that are always coming. There's gossip, there's so many things to argue about, and so many things to fight about. Srila Prabhupada explains that the nature of Kali Yuga is people are inclined to fight about anything or everything. There's so many things that attract our attention for our enjoyment, so many things to fear. But a devotee doesn't pay attention to all the small things. Param drishtva nivartate. It's concerned with the higher principle. And what is that higher principle? Samsidhyar hari toshana. What will please Krishna? Ultimately, everything in this world is under the control of Krishna in the form of time. And everything and everyone on the material level is going to be vanquished. What is the one truth that's actually of artha, or real value? Jivera Swaropoi Krishnara Nityadas. That we're eternal servants of Krishna. How to serve? What will please Krishna? So like the crane, a devotee tries to always focus on the big, important issues in life and doesn't allow him or herself to be distracted by so many little things that are constantly attacking us in this world. In this particular purport, there is a citing from the Ramayana. And the contents is interesting. After Hanumanji jumped across the Indian Ocean and gave the message of Ram to Sita, and then he did some extra service by meeting Ravana face to face after destroying his garden and killing his son and destroying thousands of his soldiers. And then he was tied up by Ravana face to face. Ravana insulted him. And Hanuman just spoke the truth. You see what I have done? I'm just a little servant of Ram. Give Sita back to Ram. Ram will protect you. Otherwise, you will be destroyed. Ravana was so insulted by this. Burn the monkey's tail. He wanted to kill him. But Bibhishan, his younger brother, said, according to Kshatriya codes, you cannot kill a messenger. You can punish him. So they burned his tail. And Hanumanji was not seeing in terms of pleasure and pain. He was only seeing in terms of service. Whatever situation came upon a devotee thinks, what is the opportunity to serve? Not whether I like or whether I don't like, but how can I serve? So Hanuman, with his blazing tail, Ravana set his tail on fire, and ultimately the same fire that Ravana put on his tail burned a majority of his kingdom. In the same way, when we have this adverse consciousness toward service to God, and especially when we try to harm the Lord's devotees, then the same very thing that we create destroys us. So after Hanuman jumped back over the ocean, Ravana called a meeting with all of his associates. And he said, what will we do now? And Vibhishan spoke very strongly. He said, you should give Sita back to Ram. You saw what one little monkey could do, and he has millions of monkeys in his army. What to speak of Ram, who's the controller of the monkeys? Just give Sita back. Ravana was so angry. And his son, Indrajit, and the other warriors, the generals, they were blaspheming against Vibhishan as being a coward. Each one was saying, I can individually, personally, all by myself, destroy Ram and his entire army. It's just that Hanuman came when we were not expecting him. That's why he was able to do this. They were really believing this. And Ravana believed them. And Vibhishan said, you are all fools. You do not understand who Ram is. And at that time, Ravana rejected Vibhishan. Even though you're my brother, because you are aligned to my enemy, now you are my enemy. So Vibhishan left Ravana. That means he left his entire family. He left his entire dynasty. And with four of his associates, he went across the ocean or in the sky, looking down. And Vibhishan was huge. He's the brother of Ravana. He's the brother of Kumbhakarna. Very fearful looking. He had weapons. And he called for Sugriva.
And Sugriva looked up. Vibhishan said, "I want to surrender to Ram and take shelter of him. Please give him this message."
Sugriva went to Ram and told him the message.
Ram asked the advice of all of the different leaders of his army.
Sugriva was so passionate. He said, "No, he cannot be trusted. He's Ravana's brother. He's a Rakshasa by nature. He should be imprisoned, tortured, or killed, or at least he should be rejected. But we can't allow a demon like this to actually enter into our inner circles."
And then all the other soldiers, the leaders, they were saying essentially the same thing as Sugriva. Then Ram asked Hanuman, "What is your opinion?"
He said, I heard the way he spoke, and I saw his face as he spoke it. I trust him. He's coming to take shelter of you. We should accept him as our own brother within our own family and give him our full trust."
And Ram said, "Yes, I think what Hanuman is saying is good.
Sugriva really went out of control. He wasn't arguing, but he was really stating in his mood of service of an extremely different opinion than Hanuman. Ultimately, he's with us because now Ravana and him are in some dispute, but blood is very thick. That's his family, that's his dynasty. When things are really to the point of killing your old brother, he's going to turn against us."
And then Ram spoke this beautiful verse, which was also cited by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Chaitanya Charitamrita. He said, "Anyone who even once says with a sincere heart, 'My Lord, I am yours,' to that person, I will give protection forever. This is my solemn vow. I say it before all of you. Even if Ravana himself has come to take shelter of me, I will give him protection forever."
Daivihesi gunamai mama maya durati.
This is the power of bhakti, taking shelter of the Lord.
Bhajahuremana Sri Nandanandana Abhaya Charanaravindare.
When we take shelter of Krishna, we become fearless. Because we're out of time, I'll just tell one little story and then end. I was recently reading one of our god sisters, Govinda Devi Dasi, is telling a memory of Srila Prabhupada. She explains how at that time her husband, Gaur Sundar, he came from a military family. This was in the 60s. And his family really wanted him to join the army, be a pilot, and fight in the Vietnam War. But he was totally against the Vietnam War. But at that time, there was a draft where if a person was drafted, you had to forcibly go to the army or go to jail. So he was very much afraid of being drafted. He went to college, so there was some good possibility of not being drafted if you're in college. But then he went on a spiritual search and became a follower of Srila Prabhupada and left college. So when he first met Srila Prabhupada, he expressed his great fear of having to go to the army and fight a war he didn't believe in. And he was always living in that fear.
At one time, Srila Prabhupada, this was in 1967, his health was not well. So some of his close devotees took him to a retreat place near the seashore in New Jersey. And Govinda Devi Dasi and Gaur Sundar were helping to take care of Prabhupada. He got the notice from the draft board, what he was dreading. He was called for a physical examination. Now, in those days, if you passed the physical examination, oftentimes they just immediately put you in the army. They don't even let you go home. So he was really afraid because he was in good health. So as he was going to meet the army people for his physical exam, he came to Srila Prabhupada and he bowed down and expressed to Prabhupada how afraid he was. And Srila Prabhupada was completely calm. He raised his right hand and mildly smiled. And Prabhupada said to him, "Krishna will protect you. I will request him. Do not fear. Krishna will take care of everything." And then he left. He went to New York City. He went to the draft board. Meanwhile, it's only a few hours back and forth, but the whole day passed and he didn't come back. So Govinda Devi Dasi is describing how much she was in such tension, and she was praying and praying, and she knew her husband was praying and praying. And the whole day passed, and he didn't return. And finally, he did come back. And Srila Prabhupada called him to his room and said, "Tell me what happened." And he explained that the draft board told them they're not going to draft him. He was exempted. He had Jagannath hanging from his neck. And he had these big japa beads, and he was chanting. But Srila Prabhupada, he smiled, and he nodded his head. And Prabhupada said, "Just see, Krishna had protected you. If we are sincere, Krishna will always protect us. Krishna sees everything." In the presence of great personalities, Srila Prabhupada, who is personification of the Vedas, the person Bhagavatam, in his presence, in his instructions, in his service, we could rise above all fear, the fear of Maya, the fear of illusion. And as we become fearless, we can bring fearlessness to the world of limitless fear through the chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much.